It's Here and Now. And Meghna, here are some big numbers. There are more than 600 million websites on the internet.
Okay.
That includes about 18 billion Tumblr blogs, 36 billion photos uploaded to Facebook each year, an average of 175 million tweets sent every day, and 144 billion emails a day.
Wow.
I know. That's all according to the tech site Pingdom. Well, our next guest says all that stuff is a problem and that we're actually reaching the limit of our internet infrastructure. He is Marcus Hoffman, who heads Bell Labs Research in Holmdel, New Jersey. Marcus, welcome.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Well, so first of all, what makes you think that the internet is reaching its limit?
Well, it is based on the personal experience we all have, right? We use all these applications on the internet, like browsing photos, browsing videos, doing interactive video chats. And it works well most of the times. But every now and then, the video freezes. It takes forever to load those photos. For example, when I transmit a live video cast of my kids' hockey game to my parents in Europe, just in the most exciting moment, it might happen that the video screen freezes, right? And this will increase over time as the amount of data we transmit over the internet today, this data will explode and it will become more and more. And therefore, we need to continue increasing the capacity and the bandwidth of the internet.
Well, but I mean, there are going to be hiccups along the way when you're using technology like this. What makes you think this is something that requires our attention now? And it's not just like sometimes things are slower and sometimes they go okay.
So just like, for example, there are limits to the speed of lights, there are limits to the amount of information we can transmit over a single communication channel, and we are getting closer and closer to that limit.
Well, what do we need to do?
So we need to change a little bit the approach on how we try to push the envelope. So what we did in the past is we try to squeeze more and more information over one communication channel. We are reaching that limit to that, so now we need to explore a different dimension. In the simplest form, you could think about it, just using multiple cables in the ground. Rather than having one optical cable, we could think about putting two, three, four, five cables into the ground. But it is very costly. We would have to dig up the ground. We would have to put multiple equipment in. So what we are looking at is an integrated approach where we can transmit parallel communication channels over one physical cable, basically. And this allows us to then work with or bypass the limitations that we will reach very soon.
So you're saying that even though we're moving into a world where we individually are using more and more wireless devices, that the actual physical wires that connect the internet around the world are what we're lacking right now. We need more of those.
That's an interesting question. So we clearly need more of those, but wireless communications will, of course, become even more important in the future and will also be a bottleneck. We need to apply the very similar techniques also in the wireless world. So today, for example, we have these cell towers that we all know and or love or hate, right? But we have those big cell towers, and they cover a relatively, let's say, large area, a coverage area. What we will see in the future is that we move a little bit away from these larger towers that cover these big areas towards a technology where we have smaller access nodes, similar to maybe the Wi-Fi access points people have in their homes. And they will cover a little bit smaller areas, but we will deploy more of those. We will see maybe some of those access points deployed of lamp posts, street lamps, or in buildings. And this technology is very similar to what I just described, where we have now multiple smaller access points covering the same coverage area than maybe, for example, some of these macro cell towers today.
But Marcus, just like when there are too many cars on the road and you have to build a new highway, eventually the newer, wider, bigger highway is going to get clogged up as well. Don't we have a problem with what we're using and the, you know, how much we are asking of the internet, perhaps?
You are absolutely correct. So what I described so far is one approach, one pillar that we do. So we need to continue driving up the bandwidth by using these new techniques. That alone will not be sufficient, we believe, or I strongly believe. We need to be a little bit more clever on how we use those resources that we have, and from two fronts. One is It is not really about the data that we transmit today. It is about information, right? So my mom, for example, is not interested to learn about what the temperature is in all these different locations. She's interested in knowing, does she have to take an umbrella with her or not when she leaves the home? That's the kind of information she's interested in. Yet today, what we do, we collect all this raw data like temperatures or wind sensors, transmit that all around the world to then extract the relevant information at the last possible point, basically. So we believe that if we follow an approach where we extract the relevant information from the raw data much earlier, much closer to the source, therefore can transmit much less data around the world, that this will also help to actually manage this exaflood, the explosion of data that we expect to see.
Well, how do you figure out what's relevant? I mean, I'm going to go to Google right now and type in weather, let's say, and I come up with 1.2 billion hits in 0.3 seconds.
Yeah. So at the moment, the way the internet has been designed is that the network is really a black box for the user and for the applications and vice versa, meaning the network does not know anything about the data it transmits. We need to find ways where the network can become more aware of the data it transmits. So an application can, for example, indicate, okay, this particular data is high priority or has a specific meaning and therefore should be treated differently. Then we can actually improve the efficiency and actually achieve that kind of what you just said. How does the network know what kind of data needs to be treated differently and what networks have to be used for certain applications?
Now, Marcus, if we do what you say, and I read here that the number of smartphones, tablets, and other network-connected gadgets is going to outnumber humans by the end of the year, and we make them able to figure out what's relevant to us, should we be worried that they're going to take control pretty soon?
That's certainly a worry, and we need to be careful here. So my view is, and our view here is, that this should never be completely automated. So I always get nervous if we talk about a system or an application or a service or a network trying to figure out what I want and then trying to make decisions on my behalf. So this is not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that the systems, network services, applications support me in making those decisions and allow me to express them, right? So for example, I don't know, if I have a conflict on my calendar, I don't want any applications to make a decision to remove that conflict, but rather to alert me and to offer me smart choices how I could resolve the conflict. But I, at the end, want to be in charge. I, at the end, want to decide what is the right thing for me to do. And in particular, I'm also worried about privacy, right? Because those systems need to maintain my user's privacy as well. So this is a fine line. We need to be very careful about that. But there are absolutely ways to find the middle ground here that allows us to protect the privacy as well as let the user in control while still allowing the kind of flexibility that I talked about.
I was only half kidding when I asked that, but now I'm really scared that you actually took me seriously and had a good answer for it. Marcus Hoffman from Bell Labs Research in Holmdel, New Jersey. Marcus, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Cancer Center at Beth Israel Deaconess, where researchers are working to discover new ways of diagnosing and treating a variety of cancers. BIDMC.org/cancercenter. And MIT, offering the System Design and Management Flexible Master's Program, combining engineering and management for professionals. sdm.mit.edu.